Where would this world be without you? You are significant, vital, and necessary, and you're probably so busy taking care of everyone and everything that you're starting to feel a little invisible or unheard. But your voice matters. It's time to unlock doors and shine light on all the chaos so you can be all you were meant for. Here's the host of Your Voice Matters, Rebecca Dollinger.
Hi, I'm Rebecca Dollinger, and I am the host of Your Voice Matters. Have you ever wondered whose voice you hear behind those announcements in the department stores? Or have you ever wondered that debonair and suave voice you hear over the radio? Well, today we have Jerry Dollinger with us, a.k.a. the voice guy, is here in the studio to tell us all about it. Welcome, Jerry.
Thank you for having me. Maybe I've got a feather in my underwear, but I'm tickled pink to be here.
Okay. And you have to realize, I've been married to this guy for 42 years. So he's always like this. He's just, from the day I met him, he's fun and he's sincere and I love him to death. Mm-hmm. So.
And you've heard most of my jokes by now.
I have. And they're repeats over and over. Well, let's get started. I know that this sounds like a fun and, satisfying work that you do. Mm-hmm. How did you get into voiceover?
The hard way. For close to six decades, I spoke with a very heavy Texas dialect. I was raised in the panhandle of Texas, northeastern Oklahoma. And I ended up sounding like Gomer Pyle. No other way around it. And no matter how well educated I was, and I even worked in an industry, a technical industry, where I was an expert on maintenance and repairs for industrial food plants, people would seek me out for my knowledge and how to keep them from having downtime. And then I would help them out, solve their problems, save them millions of dollars. Then they turn around and make fun of my dialect. Because no matter how well-educated I may have been, well-spoken, how knowledgeable, that dialect seemed to rank me as being less than or being ignorant. And I always wanted to do voice work. But I never thought it was possible. You had to live near, Los Angeles or Chicago or something like that. Yeah. The best thing that ever happened was the computerization of all this media so that you can now work out of your own home if you want to. But what got me to here was I found myself one day with just horrible, horrible depression and PTSD. I won't go into how I got all that. But it was either commit suicide or do something to get myself out of it. And I just sat down and I wrote down what would I like to do with my life. And I wanted to do voice work more than anything. And I was very fortunate to find a way to get into it. And it has been a journey. And I have a long ways to go yet. The Texas still creeps in all the time. But that's what's gotten me here.
Well, I know this has been a long journey for you. And, this doesn't come overnight, mm-hmm. Which I know that this sounds kind of funny, but you used to practice and he used to have funny things he practiced with. Can you maybe tell us about that when you first started out?
Well, I lucked into a place called Stage. It is now called 1106 Lupo, which is the street address. And it is a resource center for actors and other performers. And they had classes with, you could learn the speech and whatnot, acting lessons, so forth and so on. I started off with voice acting lessons with a guy by the name of Bob Michaels. And it was very beneficial. The first time I got behind a mic, I was absolutely terrified, much as I am right now. And I was terrible. I was just awful. I sounded like Gomer Pyle. But I loved it. I just absolutely loved it. And it so happened at Stage at that time, now 1106 Lupo, there was a voice and speech therapist that was having classes there. And I was told that if I could be helped, she would help me. And she turned out to be the best thing that ever happened to me. So to answer your questions, I had all this material that I would have to practice. And boy, did I need to practice. And I can't think of some of the funniest things right now, but I do know that at the red lights sitting in the car, I would go, how now, brown cow, and over and over until finally I got, how now, brown cow. And I've never been happier. And to this day, when I get it right, it's a great thing of joy.
Well, I too remember, too, you used to put corks in your mouth to practice. I guess it's helped the vowels.
Well, if you can speak with a cork in your mouth, you can speak anywhere. And I still have the corks, and I thank you for mentioning that because I probably need to keep using those. But for many, many years, people have been telling me to put a cork in it anyway. So,
well, I want to just touch on, there's so many people today that has PTSD. Mm-hmm. It's just, there can be teenagers, they can be, and it's just not like soldiers coming back from the war. Mm-hmm. And it just happens because of stressful or, prolonged traumatic experiences. Mm-hmm. And I know this helps you, you get out of your mm-hmm. depression and stuff like that. But what would you tell someone that is just at the brink of, of where they're at? And then when it's a dark place, mm-hmm. would you suggest, finding finding something that you love, mm-hmm. like voice, or finding mm-hmm. something else?
Rule one would be don't give up. Don't give up. Rule two would be you're not alone. And then number three would be do something about it. My situation was I had depression that said, give up. It's hopeless. Nothing's going to happen. Then PTSD said you had to be terrified all the time. And I would be terrified to even go to the post office. And it was a horrible, horrible battle. And I do have, access to some really good people that have had problems with addictions in the past and had the support from them. And so I knew that I was not alone, but it's a horrible thing to have happen.
Yeah.
And there has to be some way to motivate, in my opinion, to motivate you to make the effort to get out of it. And it was one of the most difficult things I've ever done, mm-hmm. was to try to recover from that. But to sit here and say that I am recovered is really a joyful thing to say. It brings tears in my eyes, but it's a joyful thing to say.
Well, that's good because, it gives hopes to other people that's our audience out there listening today because you found your solution through your voice.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to tell everybody this in the audience. He goes to the house all the time and he's like practicing, and he goes to the house and he's repeating things over and over until he gets it right. So it does take a lot of practice.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to give some love to our sponsors. So we'll be right back.
Here's a fact. Too much of today's journalism is politically biased. So where should you turn to get accurate, leading edge information that you can trust? The Epoch Times. The Epoch Times covers the news the way you need it, unfiltered and accurate. Cutting-edge topics like the danger of the Chinese Communist Party, the pandemic, Russia, the Middle East, the economy, and news you won't hear anywhere else. The Epoch Times is free from the influence of governments, corporations, or political parties. You get to form your own opinions. Here's a special introductory offer. You can get 1 month subscription to the Epoch Times weekly print newspaper, as well as unlimited access to their dynamic website for just $1. That's right, $1. Go right now to trustednewspaper.com. That's trustednewspaper.com to subscribe. Do it now. Trustednewspaper.com.
1106 Lupo, creative arts space for production meetings, rehearsals, and auditions, so you can get on with the show. Multiple room choices for up to 20 occupants at unheard of rates. Get on with the show with 1106 Lupo. Call 214-630-7722 to reserve your space today.
Well, we're right back, and we're talking to Jerry Dollinger, the voice guy. And I've always wanted to ask you, you know, your voice work brought you out of a darkness, a dark place. So what are some of the things that you did? Because it took so many years, you know, like, you know, I have a really Southern accent, especially in the morning. I had a friend call me and say, and she's from Kansas, and she goes, oh, and she started laughing. And she goes, she says, Rebecca, I mean, you're really Southern in the morning. And I says, I hope that's a compliment. But when you're doing voice work, you can't do that unless you're playing that role, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So the thing is, I think sometimes out of darkness, you sometimes find your calling.
Mm-hmm.
And tell us a little bit about your journey, about, you know, you've been doing this all your life.
I really have, because most of the jobs I had involved talking, the one I described for the industrial food plants, and I really loved it. I just really enjoyed it. But now that I can communicate so much better and be understood much more clearly, it's really a joy. But it was an incredibly hard journey to take. And the voice and speech instructor that helped me so much was a real demanding individual. She had very high standards. She didn't want any of her students to look bad on stage. And so it was very difficult sometimes. My very first classes with her, we had a 6-week class period. And I worked my butt off. And like I said, I'd sit at the red lights and go, how now, brown cow, until I could start getting it right. And I had really dramatically improved over those 6 weeks. In the last class, I was all ready to be patted on the back. You know, oh, you've done all the improvement, because everyone else in the class was already very, very good. They were just polishing what they had. So it came the time to the end of the class, and she had us read this paragraph, and then she would critique how everybody did. Well, she had me go last. I didn't even get through the first sentence. In fact, I didn't even get halfway through the first sentence, and she tore me up. There was nothing I did right. And talk about being angry. I was mad, and I left that place. And if there was anybody on I-35 that night, I owe them an amend, because I really took it out on everybody on the road. I was so mad. Until I got almost all the way home, and it dawned on me, these friends that I've got that tend to give me good advice, they said, you know, if you're really hating, you better find a way to forgive, because it will eat your lunch. If you're going to kill somebody else, you better dig your own grave, because it's going to kill you long before it's going to kill anybody else. And the minute I said, I'm going to have to find a way to forgive her, it dawned on me that what she was doing was telling me what I needed to work on for the next 3 or 4 weeks until the next class series started, so that I didn't practice it wrong. And when I realized she was really doing me a favor, I came back to the next series of classes with a whole different perspective. I was a good student, and I, you know, I learned. I learned. But it's amazing how the hard times are what can be the most beneficial, and can be the most beneficial to help others. And I'm so very grateful that I had this, but I really, really worked. And it's been very frustrating. And if I could talk for just a little more longer, I know you've got another question for me, but I had an opportunity for an audition. And it was a lady had this ministry, and she had these prayers she wanted recorded. And me and this other guy were up for it. And I got recommended because a voice teacher had heard that Jerry's improved. Maybe he might work for this. And again, I was awful. I was truly terrible. I had this, I was terrified. The PTSD just had me ready to run away. And I was just shaking like a leaf. And I went in and I did my best. And they had a glass booth, and I was sitting outside the glass booth. And they said, okay, your turn to go in there. And I didn't know it, but the door was on the other side. But the glass was absolutely clear as air. I walked right into there, and everybody's laughing. And I felt about 3 inches tall. And my impulse was just to run. But then I got in there and realized I've made my screw up. Everybody else has to worry about making their mistake. I've made mine and got it over with. So, at any rate, I did my best and I was awful. And the other guy got it. You know, I did not get it. So I just tell everybody I came in second and the other guy came in next to last. But it got me out of myself. I did not get that gig. But what had happened was I had put myself out there, and I did my level best for that lady. And I went home feeling like I had really achieved something, because for somebody who was afraid to go to the post office, to be able to go and do that, it was a big deal.
Well, you know, what would you tell people that wants to, like, break into the voiceover career? Because I've ran into people that are motivational speakers, mm-hmm. or different ones, but they often tell me, well, you know, somebody told me I really should do that. Mm-hmm. And what advice would you give them?
Do it. What happened, I lucked into Stage 1106 Lupo and found that these very reasonable priced classes were available. And then I had to do all the work, of course. But it is incredibly difficult to get into voice work professionally to make a living at it. In fact, it's like professional modeling. It's that competitive. Down where I work for a major department store, and I just love to do the announcements over the PA system, and I record them and everything. And it's even with my Texas dialect creeping in there all the time, everybody likes it and seems to respond well. And I get to use my humor because I can say, you know, the savings are so cool, you may have to wear a sweater. And I just love it. And so far, it hasn't been highly, highly remunerative. But I'm so very glad to do it. I would say anybody that wants to do it, go do it.
Yeah, and I think that's really, you know, you have to have a lot of courage to step out there and do something new. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, even in my life, you know, when I ran for the district vice president of the American Businesswomen, I had to step out there and do stuff that I was very uncomfortable with, but it was a learning process. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't trade it for the world. You know, I had to talk in front of like mm-hmm. 500 or 600 people, mm-hmm. you know, and that was not quite, you know, what I do every day. And we're getting a signal from our crew and saying that we need to take a break right here. Thanks.
When it's time to perform, it's too late to practice. First Safety Training in DFW supports local communities and churches through firearms training and nonviolent dispute resolution training. Understand the laws related to weapons and deadly force, handgun use and safety, and proper storage practices. A trained and licensed gun-carrying citizen will react quicker to protect themselves and others. Call 214-808-9757 to schedule your introduction to handguns, license to carry, active shooter, church security, and survival training. Be prepared for the best possible outcome of a weaponized attack. Make sure the law is on your side in the event deadly force is necessary. Call 214-808-9757 and work with former law enforcement trainers and range officers. Meet all municipal, county, state, and federal regulations. Understand your gun and how to care for it properly. Call First Safety Training at 214-808-9757 today.
At WorkSuites, get back to work your way. Business addresses, co-working, executive office suites. We really thrive on helping small businesses expand their horizons from simply working out of their home. What's really nice is we're flexible with our terms. We don't require you to sign a lease with us, go month to month, or stay a couple years. You may only need a part-time space. You'll have a full kitchen, covered garage access. This is the ideal way to work through the transition in your business and get you up to speed quickly. Private offices have dedicated Wi-Fi, furniture, 24/7 access. Call 888-445-9675 and check us out at worksuites.com. Members access all of our locations throughout DFW and Houston. A significant advantage for meeting clients on their terms. We won't nickel and dime you. Go to worksuites.com or call 888-445-9675 to schedule your tour. You're going to love it here. 888-445-9675.
Well, we're back and we're speaking to Jerry Dollinger and we are talking about voiceover. And how would you describe, because all, you know, because of everybody comes from different parts of the country. Mm-hmm. And there are biases, to be quite honest. I mean, that's truthful. I'm Southern, born and raised here. And I don't care what I do, this is the way it sounds. But two, sometimes people will look at you, and I'm blonde. So sometimes people will look at you and think, I wonder if she has a college education, you know, or, oh, she's sweet, but does she have brains? And, you know, and I think sometimes women and probably men too lose jobs because, you know, we sound different than what they were looking for.
Yeah, I liked how you put that. She's sweet, but does she have brains? And our society, in my opinion anyway, we judge people by appearance so much. And part of the appearance is voice. And people will fix their hair, dress nicely, or whatever they have to do. Then when they open their mouth, they're judged by that. And there's not really any right or wrong. It's just where you grew up. And I happened to grow up with some really fine people in the Texas Panhandle in northeastern Oklahoma. The thing is, there are certain accents that are regarded lower, in my opinion anyway, what I've found. And I happen to have one of them. And if someone were to put on an English accent, and I've had actors tell me this, they've gone into a store, spoken normally, and looked at merchandise, then come back at another time and with an English accent, and they were treated totally different. In the United States, that English accent just automatically gives you credit for being very proper and knowing what you're talking about. And you can be an idiot, but you'll sound good. And that's one of the pitfalls I try to avoid is if I do sound good, I try not to be an idiot.
Well, I have relatives on the East Coast, so we would always come go to visit. So my deal was, they would say talk for us because they thought we talked funny. And I said, well, we think you talk funny. And their wording and their sentences, like, you know, they bag things or they sack things or they go uptown or they don't even know some of the like cliches that we have, like in the summer, crack your window. They take it literally, you know, like, but, so yeah, the wording and stuff is different. And I think that's what makes us unique. But at the same time, it can also be more or less not fitting. And I know as a past officer of the American Businesswomen Association, you deal with people all over the country. And the one thing I really like about that, about this association and about me, is all women, mainly, but they all have, they're all intelligent, they're all smart, and it doesn't matter if they have a Southern accent, Northern, or Californian accent, they are who they are. And I think this is what I think most people that in the United States, you know, this is the way it should be. And I think like you're going into voice work and actually doing all that actually helps people realize that the dialects don't really matter. But I think it's been ingrained in us so long that and you know, it really bothers me, to be quite honestly, especially for women. because we really get a bad rap. I mean, if we sound a certain way, mm-hmm. or, and I know one lady, she actually changed her voice. She had a beautiful voice, but she changed it mm-hmm. because she couldn't get the job she wanted. And that's flat not fair. Mm-hmm. So what would your suggestion be?
Well, you know, this is a large country that we live in, and there's all manner of different people, all manner of different areas. And I've always loved dialects and accents, and it's doing voice work. I've had a chance to study some of them and just love every minute of it. But I remember growing up, we have a lot of family members that live in the Chicago area. And I'd listen to them, and they talk about how they'd go and support the Bulls and the Bears. And I just, I love the way they talk. I try to imitate them. But until everybody realizes that everybody's a human being, we still have this problem in this country and human beings, and we judge people by what we perceive they are like.
I know, and it's kind of sad in a way because just because you live up north or you live in the south or you're in the east or the west doesn't mean that, you know, all the people, the way you speak doesn't talk to your intelligence. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. I think that's a big thing for me because a lot of times we have different ways of expressing ourselves. Mm-hmm. And I think, too, that when we express ourselves and how we feel comfortable mm-hmm. is what makes the difference. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd have to get out of my box. And like when I had to write a speech and give it before a large audience, I pick and choose my words because you need to address every person in that audience. Same with voice, right? Mm-hmm. You need to touch every person mm-hmm. in your audience. And you do that by what? By what?
Let me mention sincerity. A lot of times I've found you can overcome a lot of negative impressions if you are really sincere and authentic. If you're trying to fool somebody and you're trying to con them, then you've got to be extra sharp and know exactly what you're doing. But if you're really authentic, if you're trying to be honest, it will show through eventually. I believe it can overcome a lot of preconceived stereotype.
That's really interesting because I really think that sincerity is really mm-hmm. important. Mm-hmm. And before we get away here, Jerry, why don't you give us your contact information and where they can find you, look you up, and track you down?
Well, I'm going to be working on a website, Jerry the Voice Guy, and that's the way I started thinking of myself, is Jerry the Voice Guy, and I'm not all that accomplished just yet, but I'm working on it. And so my phone number is 214-729-6308, but I hope to have jerrythevoiceguy.com going relatively soon.
Well, thank you, and we stay tuned because we have a fabulous show coming up next. Thanks.
You've been listening to Your Voice Matters with host Rebecca Dollinger. Find Your Voice Matters on the OBBM Network podcasts and directories everywhere. For guests and sponsor information, call 214-729-6307. That's 214-729-6307.